12. Countermeasures. The world still smelled of betrayal. The smoky reek of it, thick and piquant, hung heavy in the air. But then that was no surprise. The civil war to divide the Imperium had begun there only 4 nights before. Many of the legions loyal to Horus were still engaged in the arduous process of withdrawing their forces back into orbit. The pyre marking the final resting place of the tens of thousands of slain warriors was more than an ashen burial ground. It was a beacon of cinders, proclaiming the overthrowing of humanity's stagnant oppressor. The blackened earth and scorched empty suits of armor from over 200,000 legionaries lay at the heart of a tank graveyard. Those war machines, suitable for plunder, were already claimed by the victorious legions. The wrecks too far gone to repair sat where they died, consigned to rust and corrode when the rebels moved on. Captain Axalion of 29th Company watched his warriors' progress from atop the burned-out hull of a Raven Guard land raider. The Aquila still stood out upon his breastplate, as was his right as one of the Emperor's Children Legion. Many of his brothers were already defiling the Imperial symbol, as they altered their armor with little but their own blades and ingenuity, but he kept his war gear as pristine as possible. The emblem could be removed by the tech adepts once his planet-side duties were complete. Until then, he would tolerate no damage to the Ceramite he'd miraculously managed to keep unbroken through the insane battle earlier that week. He had no need to raise his voice. His men, and the servitors working alongside them, operated fluidly and efficiently with only a little spoken direction. His role was one of organizer, not an overseer, and he took pride in the smooth operation taking place in his allotted section of the field. Axalion watched another of the black-hulled battle tanks being connected to the lifter claws of an Emperor's Children transporter gunship. The servitors backed away, and a warrior nearby raised his hand. The captain nodded in reply.
"This is Axalion," he spoke into the vox. "Sector 30, requesting clearance."
"Request acknowledged, Captain Axalion. Please hold."
Another gunship, this one in the sea green of the Sons of Horus, rattled overhead, pregnant with stolen rhino troop carriers. About a minute after it, an Iron Warrior's lander shook the ground as it lifted off on guttural engines.
"Captain Axalion,"
came the reply from the Tech Marine Overseer at Reclamation Command to the east.
"You are clear, with 5 minutes to make your assigned launch window. If you fail to meet this requirement, you will surrender the launch window to the next vessel in line. Do you understand?"
Of course he understood. He'd been doing this for 4 days. He'd heard that same refrain from the same Sons of Horus Tech Marine at least 200 times.
"I understand."
"Your launch window has commenced."
He switched vox channels.
"Thunderhawk Transporter Redeemer, you are clear for orbital return."
"Order received, Captain. Launching now."
The flyer's thrusters started cycling up. Axalion watched it rise, shuddering with the weight of its plunder. That was the moment a shadow passed overhead. The Reclamation Command Bunker blurted an emergency code in screeching binaric cant across the communications channels.
"Abort!" Axalion called into the vox. "Redeemer, this is Axalion. Abort launch immediately. Land and cut engines at once."
The Thunderhawk thudded down heavily on its landing gear.
"Sir," voxed the pilot.
"Stay down,"
said Axalion.
"We have inbound."
3 of them, and inbound without clearance. He watched the grey gunships roar overhead, spiralling down in landing trajectories, uncaring of the discord they sowed in their approaches.
"Word bearers."
With an annoyed grunt, he jumped down from the land raider hull. 2 of his warriors stood watch over a gang of servitors nearby. He gestured for them to leave their charges and follow him.
"Self-righteous bastards," one of them voxed. "Coming in like that."
Axalion was irritated enough not to reprimand the legionary for the breach of protocol.
"Let us see what this is about," he said.
The gunships were kin to all Legion troop dropships. Thick-hulled, swoop-winged, and avian in a strangely hulking way. With a mechanical unison that could only have been intentional, the 3 ramps lowered as one. Axalion stood before the closest Thunderhawk, flanked by his guards.
"I am Captain Axalion of the 3rd Legion. Explain your..."
"Captain,"
both of his warriors hissed at once. Leading the squad of world-bearers was a towering figure in ceramite painted the red of fine wine. He stalked down the gang ramp, ignoring how it shook beneath his boots. The Primarch's unmasked face was pale, given life and colour by the tattooed stripes of runic scripture, inked in gold upon the white flesh. Axalian could claim the honour of standing in the Emperor's presence a number of times, and this being resembled the master of mankind more than any other, but for the changes he wrought to himself to appear different.
"My Lord Aurelian,"
Axalian saluted.
"Tell me,"
Lorgar bared his perfect teeth in something that wasn't quite a smile.
"Where is my brother Fulgrim?"
"The scars suit you."
They faced each other in a mausoleum of tank husks, while their warriors looked on. 30 word-bearers held their bolters in loose fists, half of them in their legion's traditional granite-grey ceramite, the other half clad in betrayer's red. Change had come to the 17th Legion after the drop-site massacre. Great change indeed. Lorgar stood at the head of his phalanx. Fulgrim, clad in burnished purple and gold, needed no such formation. His Emperor's children surrounded the intruders. Some stood in neat squad rankings in the presence of 2 Primarchs, others remaining by the hulls of battle tanks, awaiting orders to close into formation. All of them sensed the unpleasant tension in the air. Few fingers strayed far from bolter grips. Legionaries firing upon brother legionaries may have seemed madness only weeks before, but the age of innocence and inviolate trust was over. They had buried it forever on this very battlefield. Fulgrim's effortless charm manifested in a warm smile, a brotherly glint in his eyes. He made no effort to reach for a weapon, as if such behavior was beyond conception.
"I am not making a jest," Fulgrim said. "The scars suit you."
He stroked his fingertips along his own pale cheeks, tracing a mirror image of where the scars were carved down Lorgar's face and neck.
"They blend well with your tattooed scripture, almost like understated tiger stripes. They ruin any hope of refining your features to perfection, certainly, but they are not entirely unattractive."
Lorgar's own smile seemed genuine enough to all who looked upon the scene from the sidelines, at least as sincere as Fulgrim's.
"We must speak, you and I, my beloved brother."
Fulgrim gave an elaborate shrug, his face a guileless picture.
"Whatever could you mean? Are we not speaking now, Lorgar?"
Several of the Emperor's children chuckled through vox speakers. Lorgar's smile didn't fade. He said 2 words into his own open vox channel. A name.
Argal Tal.
Captain Rachal of the Emperor's children destroyer Saturnine Martyr covered his eyes as his command deck exploded in light and noise. The peal of thunder shattered several consoles, cracking glass instruments and driving a thick crack through the oculus screen. He was already yelling into the vox for an emergency containment and repair team, while cursing at his onboard cult of tech adepts for whatever laxity allowed such a grievous malfunction. Several of the returning shouts insisted it was a teleport flare. Either way, alarms were ringing. When Rachal dragged himself off the floor, waving a hand through the dissipating mist, the first thing he encountered was the muzzle of a bolt pistol. Fat calibered and painfully wide, it broke his teeth on the way into his mouth and rested hideously cold and bitter on his tongue. He tried to swallow. 3 of his teeth went down with the saliva. They tasted smoky and bitter.
Oh,
he managed to gasp. The mist cleared enough to reveal the massive arm clutching the pistol, and the word-bearer in traitor's red to whom the arm belonged.
"My name is Argal Tal," said the warrior. "Remain silent, on your knees, and you will be allowed to survive the next hour."
Fulgrim hesitated.
"Yes, Captain Axalian."
The captain needed a second attempt to speak. The Primarch was clearly unconnected to the main Voxnet, and he was the ranking officer in his lord's presence. It fell to him to appraise the Legion commander of the orbital situation.
"Lord, we are receiving a mass-aligned signal from 49 of our vessels. One signal, coming from the Saturnine Martyr, is the source pulse. The others are confirmations, aligned to the source message."
Fulgrim ground his teeth together. The smile died in his handsome eyes.
"And what is the message, Axalian?"
Before the captain could reply, Lorgar clicked his Gorjet's voxponder to a louder volume. The voice that came through was crackled by distance distortion, but the words were clear enough.
This is Argal Tal of the Gal Vorbak. Objectives achieved, my lord. No casualties. Awaiting order to teleport back to our ships.
Lorgar silenced his vox.
Now, brother.
He smiled at Fulgrim, and there was no mistaking the absolute sincerity in the expression.
Let us talk alone.
Fulgrim swallowed, too composed to ever reveal his discomfort, but unable to force life and colour to his strained features.
You have changed, Lorgar. So everyone keeps telling me.